Guys, hope everybody had a great Christmas.
Yes.
A good time with family and friends, enjoying the festivities, as they would say. Hope you didn't eat too much.
No. Never.
So we say. And only if you brought to-go boxes home, then you know you're like, okay, I'm overdoing it. But amen, guys. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to be over in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to kind of finish up here a little bit in the Gospel of Mark before the brothers all come back on board, and we're going to be in the book of Exodus, starting in the beginning of January. And Exodus is going to be a great book where God basically just takes us through the journey of liberation and delivery of his people, the Israelites.
Come on.
But over in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to be in chapter 4 over there, and we're going to be in verse 21. And while you guys turn there, let's give you a little backdrop. You know, Jesus, over here from this perspective here, he's been teaching a lot. He's been healing, preaching. He's been interacting with the people there. And so after he tells this, what we know is the parable of the sower, you know, he pulls the disciples to the side, and he gives them a little bit more insight into what the parable means. And so this is Jesus' way of being more personable with them. Like, you know, he wants them to get it. He wants them to understand. He's like, all right, let me show you what it means to be practical and relatable as far as explaining this scripture, this parable, I should say. And of course, he tells them about, you know, hey, you know, one seed is about the hardness of a person's heart, how they can't receive it. Another one's about this, the shallowness, you know, how like they give you this impression that, oh, I'm all in, I'm all for God, but you know, given time, they tend to fade away. Another, he talks about how, you know, it's crowded, like, you know, like they've got too many things in their life and in their heart, and it's so crowded that God has no room to grow. And so he continues on in this conversation, and he picks up and he talks about, as we know in the book of Matthew, let your light shine. But over here he calls it the lampstand.
That's
and
right.
Both of them are the same things, about letting your light shine. And so Jesus is having this private conversation with his disciples. Everybody's not there, and a few other people. And the one thing he's wanting to convey to them is that although you know scripture, you have to be able to make it relatable to people, everyday people, who may not so much be hardcore in the scripture like you are. You have to figure out how to help them to understand. And so Jesus uses an everyday analogy about light. He's like, oh, everybody can relate to light. Everybody likes to see the light. Nobody likes to be in the darkness. And so he talks about the lampstand. And so the one thing we want to talk about this morning is about understanding the purpose of the lamp. And understand that we ourselves are God's lamp in this world. And so I too wanted to understand the lamp. And it says the lamp is a device for producing illumination consisting originally of a vessel containing a wick soaked in a combustible material. You know, there are other light-producing instruments such as gas and electric lamps. But you know, people every day, everywhere, long for the light in anyone connected to it. And this is what Jesus saw during his time when he walked on this earth in earthly form. He's like, there's just so many people in the world who are looking for the light. Anybody connected to the light? Can somebody give me a connected? Or as we say, can I get a hookup? Is there anybody who can help get me hooked up to the light? And Jesus also wants us to know that in our day and time, there are still people looking for the light.
That's right.
They're looking for a hookup from you and I. They want to be connected to the light.
Yep.
It says they are intentionally searching for the light.
Yep.
But here's a good question. But is the light making itself known?
Ooh.
Picking up in verse 21 of Mark chapter 4, Jesus says to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? He says, instead, don't you put it on its stand? He goes on and says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. I want to first talk about, you are not meant to be hidden. We can be good at hiding. We like to kind of hide ourselves from certain things.
That's right.
We don't want to be noticed.
Right.
Why they gotta pay attention to me? I don't know if you've ever been in public and somebody stared at you, you wonder why are they staring at you? Mm-hmm. Some people are more vocal, they're trying to get you like, what are you staring at? What are you looking at? They wanna know because it makes them uncomfortable that you're putting this light on them. But Jesus wants us to know that as disciples, we are not meant to be hidden. We should be sitting out on a stand for all to see, for all to take notice of our life and our action. I think about that song that we've learned so much, so many times over the month, The Proof of Life. And the lyrics in that song, like, God, you know, he says, let my love be the proof of what I'm made of. He talks about his life and his action. You know, look at my life. You hear my words, but look at my action.
Yeah.
Look at how I live.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying, people need to see how you live. They need to see your life. They hear your words. They hear the chatter, but they want to see, does it match up?
Right.
You know, your gifts, your talents, your education, your life experiences are not meant to be hidden.
That's right.
It's not designed for that. You know, God has brought you into this world for a purpose, and that purpose is to shine in all situations. Lights today are so just amazing. My daughter bought this light for her room. I'm like, what do you buy a light bulb off Amazon for? What? And she's like, Dad, she said, you don't understand. I'm like, so what does it do? So she puts the light bulb in. She said, let me show you. She said, so like, now, I just like, this just leads to a form of debauchery. That's what I thought, but I said, amen. Because I kind of like it. So she puts the light in the thing. She said, I'm laying in the bed. She said, what if I don't want to turn the light off? I said, shut the front door. Shut the front door. The light went off. She said, oh, Dad, it gets better. She said, but I don't want you home. I get my phone. Damn. That light got three different modes of dimming and cut it off. Don't have to live. I said, oh, this is like, this is like real good here.
I'll take two.
Yeah. I'm like that. I want that for Christmas. I didn't get it for Christmas, but yeah. I was like, that is nice. But you know what I learned from that? Like, wow, that light offers so many different angles of how it can deliver pleasure to her. I was like, you can dim it, you can turn it blue, it turns pink, and you can hit a button, turns on, you never have to get up and hit the switch. She said, never. Mm. I was like, wow, that's amazing. But you know, light offers things like that. We have to learn to let our light shine at different angles. We have to learn to allow our light to provide different angles of resources. Mm-hmm. My daughter, love her, she's grown, you know, she's falling in love, and you know, she's dating a guy. The guy seems to be a great guy. I always pray for God give my kids godly spouses. But something that I learned from Jesus and about letting my light shine was that suppose my kids didn't become disciples right away and they have that training mentally and emotionally to know that, hey, I need to date a disciple in the kingdom. Suppose they didn't do that. Now what? Now what? Is it the end of the world? But this guy, I met him, and he's amazing, and he's humble, and he's very respectful, and you know, he comes in, he talks, and me, and I'm like, I could kind of be standoffish, or I could let my light shine, and maybe, just maybe, I can win this guy over.
Come on, bro.
Amen. Come on.
That's right.
I can win this guy over. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, you need to be the perfect cookie-cutter disciple, and you need to wait for a disciple to come to the kingdom and find out, maybe I can win this guy over.
That's right.
Maybe this is the guy I've been praying about, but you know, I don't see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I say, this is the opportunity to really shine my light. And so, you know, what I've learned to do is just really be nice, respectful, and he talks to me, seeks advice. I'm like, who knows right. where this will go? Maybe this is the guy I was praying for.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn to allow our light to shine in all different situations.
That's right.
From all different angles. Right. We have to learn to allow our light to be used in all kind of ways. You know, maybe, just maybe, this guy may be God's answer to help Amen. My daughter become a disciple.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
All because I decided to allow God to use me to be a light
That's right.
to her, a light to him, invite him in, and man, we'll build something great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to learn to love, as me and Gloria learned, they were saying, learn to love what I could not control.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, you can't control your kids when they get older.
Yes.
You yes. just, as much as you want to control the narrative, you cannot control them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But before I could love my daughter, who I could not control, I had to learn to love God,
yeah.
who I yes. cannot control, and trust what he was doing and trust how he is using me as a light, not only as a light to people in the world, but a light to my immediate family.
Yeah.
You know, we must learn to allow our light to shine from many different angles to serve, love, and to draw people to Christ.
That's right.
You are God's light in all situations. Allow God to use you to shine bright. Verse 22 again, it says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. He says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Wow, I'm going to talk about your assignment is to shine in the darkness. God said it needs to be, everything needs to be disclosed. Everything needs to be revealed and open up. No longer things need to be hidden. We need to bring our light into all situations. We need to illuminate so people can see the truth. So people can see the love of Jesus. Do you love your assignment? And your assignment is to shine bright.
Come on.
Do you love your assignment? Are you embracing your role as a light for God to his people? Mm-hmm. I was reading an article of a young lady, and she's got, you know, you just think, you know, unless you are exposed to everything in the world, you don't think that like there's like any other type of disease out there. You think like I know every disease there is, you know. But she has this disease, and it's kind of like it's connective tissue issues. Tissues, they don't work right in her body. They don't connect. You're like, how is that possible? How's that feasible? But anyway, she's had a long fight and a long battle. And so there's nothing else that doctors can do. And so she's going to hospice. And she writes this letter. And she says, pray for my family. You know, pray for, you know, comfort and compassion for them. She says, for I'm getting ready to go home. She says, and I am excited. She said, death is a wonderful thing. And I was like, this is amazing. I'm like, this young lady is shining a light on why we need to be excited.
Wow.
About going home to God. And she writes this inspiring letter about looking forward to dying. She says, yes, I'm going to keep fighting tenaciously, but she says, I'm not fighting with grief or worry. She says, I'm really excited that my body here on earth, with all these ailments that are hurting my body, she says, it's going to be over soon. And she says, it's going to be a great Christmas. And she says, yeah, Christmas will be wonderful, and I love Jesus. She says, but just pray for my family. Help them to be at peace with this.
Wow.
Come on. I said, here's somebody who loves their assignment.
Wow.
For the lot in life that God has assigned them, allowed them to live, she is rejoicing in the fact that, wow, I'm going to see God. But she said, why I'm still here, I still want to be an inspiration to my family.
That's right.
Amen.
And to everybody else. I thought, this is a beautiful letter.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was rejoicing and happy with a smile, she said. And at the end, she's like, life is good. God is good.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Man, do you like your assignment?
Come on.
I tell you, a lot of us and a lot of people in the world, everybody wants to go to heaven, but not too many people that I know are anxious to die. If they could go to heaven any other way, they would take that vehicle.
Yes.
They would take that vehicle. But here's somebody saying, hey, I'm excited about death.
Wow. That's awesome.
And I put myself in the shoes thinking, man, if you suffer long enough physically, you will be more excited about being with God. Because God promises, guess what? There are no more pains. There are no more tears. There are no more burden.
That's right.
In all situations, how does your light shine?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Are you happy about the assignment that God has given you in life? Your light has meaning. Your light is powerful. And no matter what you're going through, God requires you to shine bright in all situations. Finally, in verse 24, Jesus is having this private conversation with them. He encourages them to, like, let your light shine. He's basically talking about, as you live your life, let it be seen, you know, that you are a beacon of hope, a beacon of inspiration. And he closes out 24, and this one kind of threw me off, and I had to like this really study, read, research, and pray, and I wanted to understand it, and I finally got it after a lot of study. But it says, verse 24, it says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Wow, that's great. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. I was like, man, just a powerful, powerful, powerful statement. I want to close that with, your effort is measured. We'd like to think our effort is not, effort cannot be measured. But your effort is measured. You know, you need to know your Bible from the point of how to use it to connect with people. You just do.
That's right.
Are you scripturally invested? It's easy to say I'm invested, but are you scripturally invested?
Right.
Yes.
You cannot give what you do not have. And that's
right.
What the scripture is talking about.
Right.
Wow.
You cannot give what you do not have.
Right.
You just cannot. You know, your time in God's word will develop your character, adjust your attitude, and shift your mental state.
That's right.
You know, earlier we talked about what a lamp is, and we gave it the description. And Jesus is the ultimate person who gives light. Jesus said, let me give you this analogy so you can understand it. It's very practical. So if you look up history, during that time, Jesus talks about being a lamp. That time they had a bowl that would have liquid in it, gas or some type of fluid in it, and then it would have a wick in it. That fuel at the bottom would help that soaked wick to stay lit. The wick would come out of the bowl and hang off the bowl. And so when you light it, guess what? It would stay lit. And so what Jesus talks about here to get them to help them understand is like, look now, he says, if you have some, he says, I will give you more. Eventually, when fire burns, it's what? Soaking up the fuel. It's eating up the fuel. And as the fuel gets low, Jesus says, guess what? You need to come back to me for more. I'm going to keep filling up. The more fuel you put in it, the longer the wick burns. But if you let the fuel burn all the way out, what happens? No matter how hard you try to light that wick, it will not what? It will not light. Because it has nothing to sustain it. He was telling his disciples, he says, look, listen. As you're out there shining bright, you're going to need to be replenished. And the way you get replenished is, you've got to stay in the word.
That's right.
You've got to stay in the scriptures. He says, for if you stay in the scriptures, I will continue to replenish you and give you more of what you need to be an effective light in this world.
That's right.
But if you refuse to replenish yourself with my word and stay close to me, your wick will burn out.
Mm. Wow.
And then all of that will be taken from you. Your effort is measured. If you stay close to God, he will replenish you. If you stay in the word, he will replenish you.
That's right.
If you spend time with God in prayer, he will replenish you. But if you neglect all of those, you will get what you should expect to get. And that is nothing. I love these private conversations that God has with his disciples. I love how he just makes it so simple, yet so inspirational, and yet he motivates them to understand their purpose. The purpose of us shining bright is to help those who are in the dark. The purpose of us being God's lamp is to bring clarity to those who cannot see clear. The purpose of us being a light in this world is so that they can see God's hope walking among them. Do you believe in your purpose? Do you believe God has set a purpose for your life? Mm-hmm. Let's not hide our lamp. Let's embrace our assignment. Let's make every effort to measure up to what God has called us to be. And most of all, as we prepare to close out 2021, let's shine, so that when we step into 2022, we'll be the brightest things that people will see going forward. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you so much. To our God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.